Calvary. You see, he made it in tonight through all the raindrops. It's good to be in the house of our Lord. Good to have those of you that may be listening or watching with us also. 169 in our hymnals, 169. Come thou fount of every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace. If you can stand comfortably, let's stand together. Just do this one song. 169. Sing it out now. Come thou fount of
every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, offer songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above.
Have mentioned before that there are a few songs I remember singing for the first time in church as a 19-year-old young man, and that's one of them. The first thing I remember thinking was Ebenezer. I didn't know what that meant. I was thinking Ebenezer Scrooge, amen. I didn't know my Bible well enough to know what that was talking about. Now I know, and that's a tremendous truth. And I remember thinking that, just kind of going, what are you talking about? And then when they got to that third verse, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Oh, I knew exactly what that meant. Amen. Oh, and it blessed my heart then, and it blesses my heart ever since then. Amen. Thank God that He forgives us and loves us and keeps us in spite of ourselves. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne of grace once more. Lord, You answered prayers for us in the morning service, and we have confidence that You will once again move in our midst and speak to our hearts. God, we pray for those that join us by way of live stream, that, Lord, You'll speak to their hearts as well. Distance is no difficulty for You. And so, Father, we look forward to what You will do in the remainder of this service as You touch the hearts of both the saint and the sinner. And we give You the glory for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 375 in your hymnals. 375. Work, for the night is coming. One day it's going to be too late. Need to do the job while we can. 375. Work, for the night is coming.
Work, for the night is coming. Work, for the morning comes. Work, while the dew is sparkling. Work, as springing comes. Work, when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work,
Let's all stand at this time for the offering this evening. The Bible says it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And to be a steward means to take care of. When we talk about someone taking care of a garden or someone taking care of a residence, we talk about them being the steward of that. And God has called and commanded each and every one of us to be a steward, amen. And so that's part of what we do when we give unto the Lord. We take that which the Lord has given unto us, and we are faithful in giving it back to Him to accomplish His work, not only here in New Bern, but around the world. I'll ask Brother Watts, if you'll please lead us in prayer over the offering this evening.
Father, we come to your name tonight, put in your name, your blood, Lord. We ask you to bless this offering tonight. Lord, bless our pastor tonight. He gives us the good message we need.
Yes,
and Lord,
Lord,
watch over the business meeting. Help us to make wise decisions.
Yes, Lord.
It's in His precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, through
Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sister Peggy. That was beautiful. A couple of announcements tonight before the... we were talking about the we have another young lady, amen, that's going to sing. I was looking... Now, good to have Miss Robin back with us, amen. She wasn't feeling well this morning, and Sean wasn't feeling well this afternoon. And I needed somebody with young legs to run upstairs and grab something for me, and I immediately thought of Brother Gary, the right man for the job, amen. Look, he's drinking water over there. He's out of breath, amen. But I did ask. Yes, sir. What's wrong with it? Well, I'm glad you told me that. I'm glad you brought that up. I have a friend here, amen. But some of y'all hurt me this morning. I went home and watched the video, and I wore a different tie this morning than I'm wearing tonight. And the reason is because I tried a new tie out, and I tied it a little different, and it was all the way over here the whole service. None of y'all loved me enough to tell me. Nobody pointed it out. I asked my wife. She said I didn't even notice. Does anybody know what was written on my tie? She didn't even know what was written on my tie. Close. Yeah, yours was a little different, right? It was the Lord's Prayer. Amen. That's what it was actually on there. But it was crooked. It was over here the whole time, y'all. Please, if I don't have much hair to have a cow lick anymore, amen, but if I got a cow lick, or I spilt mustard down the front of my jacket, or if my jacket's pushed up because I put my... please tell me. Thank you, brother. Amen. I mentioned that often, but it that kind of stuff drives me crazy. Amen. We praise the Lord for the visitors that we had this morning. Amen. And praise the Lord for our new members. Amen. Good to have. I got all kinds of stuff. I said, now we can tell you the secret stuff that we hadn't told them before. Amen. Now they'll know about the stuff that we hold back until you're members. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't forget tomorrow, early in the morning. Oh, so early. They'll be leaving and going to the wilds. I remember those days. Notice I didn't say anything about missing them, amen. But I remember them, amen, when I was driving and doing all that. And by the way, it was a blessing every year that we did it, but that's early getting up and getting going on the road. And there's a lot of people out there on the road, so pray for protection for them. Be two different vehicles on their way all the way over to the western part of the state. They'll be going to the wild, so pray for all of our young people. And, of course, Brother Brian, he's got a handful of folks from his church as well that'll be with us and going over there tomorrow. So pray for traveling mercy, safety, and most of all, pray that the Lord would work in the hearts of all of the teenagers and children that are going. Of course, we do have business meeting tonight after the service. We ask all members to stay for the business meeting in its entirety. And then we got a couple of other things coming up, but if I talk about all those, we won't have time for a business meeting. Amen. So, again, Miss Robin was a little under the weather. We're glad she's back, but we kind of did a little switcheroo with the singing, and I had a request. I think this is the first time I've had a request for a song to be sung, and that's because this song that Sister Glenda is going to sing goes along perfectly with a message tonight. So, Sister Glenda, if you'll please come.
And a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for his care. How many of you can guess what I'm preaching on tonight? I'll give you a hint. The series is entitled All Things Considered. What do you think we're going to consider? The lilies. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6 tonight. Thank you, Sister Glenda. Beautiful song, beautifully sung. So much great truth contained therein. I quoted from Matthew chapter 6 this morning. I hadn't planned on doing that. And we are familiar with many things that he talks about in this great chapter, this tremendous chapter, but this is probably the second most well-known part of this passage, maybe the third, depending on how you look at some of the earlier verses. Sadly, there are some that misquote from this passage quite a bit, but in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse number 24, one of the other popular verses that leads into what we'll look at tonight. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And we know that mammon is associated with money, with wealth. And there are many that try to straddle the fence. They try to worship money, and many people, instead of saying we trust in God, or in God we trust, which is written on our monies, often that's the God that they trust, the almighty dollar. And Jesus says you can't do that. What's interesting is that next word in verse 25, when he says, "Therefore." And whenever you see a therefore, ask yourself, what is it there for? Well, he's talking about worldly things, and depending on worldly things, and wealth, and those things. And he's saying, no, you can't do that. "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on." Now, he's not saying be careless and, you know, just be destructive to yourself. He's saying don't worry, don't fret, don't be anxious about these things. "Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And by the help of the Lord tonight, we'll be preaching on the subject, consider the lilies. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, as we consider the things that you tell us to in your word, we are often left in awe. And yet what is awful about it is that we don't often take the time to do that. In fact, we often overlook things that are awesome, things that we need to consider, and yet we pay no attention to them at all. We get so caught up and concerned with the things of this world, and we focus on things of the flesh to such a degree that we overlook the mighty witnesses that you have all around us. So that is why you do remind us regularly in your word to consider these things. Some of them, like our last message, majestic and mighty. And some of them just as majestic and just as mighty, though they might not be nearly as large. So help us tonight, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to consider the lilies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I heard of a fellow that was driving a big rig for the first time. He worked in a number of jobs over the years, but he never drove truck before, and he was driving a big rig down the interstate when he had a blowout. So he had to pull over to the side of the road, and he did just that, and he pulled over and he set up the cones like it said for him to do in a little booklet that he had. And he said, well, I'm going to do that just right. And he turned on the blinkers, you know, the lights, the caution lights, like he read the book. And then he started looking around and went over and went up into a lady's yard and started grabbing flowers out of her flower bed, just snatching them up. And he went out there and laid a few of them at the front of the truck and a few of them about midway through the truck and a few at the end of the truck. And this lady came out and said, what are you doing? He said, ma'am, I'm just following instructions. She said, what do you mean you're following instructions? He says, it says right here, it says I'm supposed to put out these cones, turn on the caution lights, and lay out some flowers. She said, flares, not flowers, flares. The reason that you put out flares in such a situation is to draw attention, to let people know that you are there. Sometimes if you're out on the water, you'll shoot a flare up in the air so that people know that you are there. Well, here, the Lord tells us to pay attention, not to flares, but to flowers. And then he gets very specific and tells us of one particular flower to consider, that being the lilies. We've often heard the expression, stop and smell the flowers, you know. Maybe stop and smell the roses. But here he is talking about one particular flower. And there are many flowers that are mentioned in the Bible. In fact, the botany of the Bible is a very fascinating subject. And the Lord has much to say. In fact, that word consider means to study. It means not just to look at a glance, but it means to study, to very closely inspect. And though every flower has the autograph of the Almighty upon it, there are particular flowers that God uses, some more than once in His Word, to draw our attention to something about Him. Now, just to let you know that I did graduate from college, here, when he uses that word consider, he's using an imperative prefix, intensified. That means really, really pay attention. It would be similar to saying, hey, eyes here, look. That's what he's saying. He's not just in general saying, you know, look. In fact, he does start off that way about the flowers of the field, but then he gets real specific. He says, consider the lilies. And he says, Solomon in all his glory. And if you recall, the Queen of Sheba was in awe of Solomon. And he says, in all of his glory, in all his royal apparel, cannot compare to the lilies of the field. And so the big bouquets that bloom say something. And the little flowers of the field have something to say to us as well. So number one tonight, we're going to consider their beauty. We're going to consider the beauty of the lilies. He says, consider the lilies of the field. And so as we look at the lily, we look at the look of the lily. And I'm not talking about Lily Kennedy, amen. As beautiful as she is, amen. Has anybody ever met a petunia before? I have. I've met a petunia. I've met a few lilies, a few roses. Not many of you may know, but Ashley, that's a flower. And there are some other names that come from flowers because of their beauty. And something that's interesting, I mean, there's a lot of things interesting about the lily, is that it is just beautiful. It's shaped like a trumpet. One of its nicknames, now there are different colors of lilies, but the one we most often think of is the white lily. And it's referred to the white-robed apostle of the flowers. Apostle. Why? Because it looks like a little trumpet, like it's announcing something, saying something. And it's true that we may overlook certain flowers, but lilies do have a way of sort of standing out at the same time. And so here, he is using this as an emblem. And it is an emblem of purity, an emblem of life. All flowers are alive. All flowers bring forth light. We can think of the sunshine. We can think of the soil. Interestingly enough, talking about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 7, God himself commanded the lilies to be used as a decoration of the temple, to be engraven in gold in the things that were engraven, and then also the actual living lilies were to be used. And so the Old Testament temple was decorated with lilies. And Solomon, of course, was given direction concerning that. So the ornaments were imprinted with lilies. Could have been roses, could have been daffodils, but God chose the lilies. Also, the altars of brass in the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 5. Those very altars were specifically engraved with lilies of all the flowers. And of course, those that would be familiar with the Old Testament would know what Jesus was saying here when he brought up Solomon and the lilies together. And yet Jesus says in verse 29 that all those, as glorious as that temple, as glorious as those things cannot compare to every single little lily that's growing out in the field somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Now Solomon built that temple up on a hill, that golden temple sitting up on that hill drew attention. It was designed to reflect the sunshine and the light. Everybody saw it. You couldn't miss it. But that little lily out in the field may not seem like much, but it was more beautiful than even the temple. He didn't say the rose or the chrysanthemum, though they are as well. He said that it's the lily in the Song of Solomon. The Bible tells us a lot about lilies. As a matter of fact, you find it mentioned quite a few times, and it's the song of who? Solomon. And those two lovebirds, amen, they make comparisons back and forth to one another. They were sweethearts, amen. And they had a lot of sweet, lovey-dovey things to say to each other. And they often make comparisons, and the comparisons are flowers. And we often think of the rose of Sharon, and we should. But we also think of the lily of the valleys. That's another song that we sing, amen, about the lily of the valley. And that's true. Every lily of the valley is beautiful and points us to Christ. But notice that passage doesn't say the lily of the valley. It says the lily, singular, of the valleys, which points us again to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is the lily of every valley that we go through. And that is, again, pointing us to what is being pointed at. That he is the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. That all of these things are to point us to the Creator, to Christ, who cares for us, who gives us that which we need. He may not give us everything we want, and that's a good thing, by the way, but he does give us everything we need. I looked it up because I wanted to know. There are over 25,000 Elvis impersonators in America alone. That's not counting Japan. Did y'all know there's a whole bunch of them over there? What's interesting is of the 25,000 in America, a rather significant number of these Elvis impersonators are women. You say, well, what do they do? Well, they dress up like Elvis. They do their hair like his, and they dress up like him, and they go out and impersonate him. And sadly, there are a whole lot of people that are impersonating other people. They pretend to be someone they are not. You'll find a lot in this chapter and a whole lot more in the next chapter where the Lord Jesus Christ talks against hypocrisy, putting on a mask. That's what hypocrisy means. It means to be a play actor, to pretend that you are someone or something that you are not. What is he saying? He's saying, look, you don't have to be a rose, you can be a lily, amen? You can bloom where you are planted. God made every one of those flowers of the field, and every one of them are special. And again, there are other flowers that are mentioned in the Bible, but here he chooses the lily and specifically is pointing to their beauty. And when we look to Jesus, he is altogether lovely. Amen. The fairest of 10,000. And so again, we're not to look to the things of this world, but we're to look to Him. And He refers to the flowers, the field, the fashion that we wear, and the food that we eat. And He says, don't worry about those things. Let me take care of that. That brings me to our second point. Consider not only their beauty, but He says, consider their industry. He says, they neither toil not, nor do they spin. Now, I have worked in the cotton mill industry before. Anybody worked in a mill, cotton mill, before? Anybody? Nobody, really? Okay, a few. My dad worked in the cotton mill for a few years, and he went to the paper mill, and that's where he stayed for 36 years and retired. But my oldest brother also worked in the cotton mill. My hometown is a mill town. And at one time, had three different factories there for J.P. Stevens. And then over the years, you know, they all went down to Mexico or went somewhere else. And it's kind of died up now, and I think that's a sad thing. But I worked in the cotton mill industry, and I know something, that toiling and spinning ain't easy. Even on the small scale, if you're just doing something yourself, it takes a while. But when you look at the actual industry, I remember going in and working. I worked at two different parts over a period of time. And I would see how they would literally spin that cotton and how they would work. It's a process, y'all. It's a lot of work and a lot of workers that it takes just to get it to a place where you can. We made towels, is primarily what we made. Towels. Now, my wife corrects me when I say this. I was going to say we make towels and wash rags. But my wife says they are washcloths. I still say wash powders because my mama did. Amen. I know it's laundry detergent, but I say wash powder. But we made mostly towels and wash rags. Amen. What we made. That was hard enough. Amen. And then we also did sheets and things like that as well. Some things that were even more complicated that required a whole lot more toil and a whole lot more spin. And yet Jesus says they don't toil or spin. And they are much more complicated than those things, and that is certainly true. What is He saying? He's reminding us that our primary service to the Savior is surrender. And we are to work. Faith without works is dead, being alone. We glorify our Father by our good works. We are to work, but our primary service, our primary work, is to surrender. And let's be honest, that's the hardest thing to do. It's to just trust in the Lord. To say, Lord, I'm doing everything You've told me to do. I'm not being lazy. I'm not shirking my responsibilities. But now I've reached a point where, Lord, I can't do anymore. And I'm just going to have to trust in You. I'm just going to have to wait on You. Depend on You. I don't know how this bill is going to get paid. I don't know how this is going to happen. But Lord, I'm being obedient. I'm doing everything You told me to do. And Lord, You told me that if I will do what I'm supposed to do, You'll do what I can't do. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust You to pay that bill. I'm going to trust You to take care of it. And by the way, I've done that. I've been in that situation many times, and the Lord's never let me down one time. Every single time He's come through. He has done things I would just pray, and I said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. And He says, I know what your groanings and utterings are. You just pray for my will to be done, and I'll take care of the rest. And God would do something that just make my jaw hang open. There are things the Lord has done for Calvary Baptist Church that are amazing. In the time that I've been here, matter of fact, this business meeting that we're going to have tonight, we couldn't even have this business meeting if the Lord hadn't done great things for us. And that's because the Lord wants to do more great things, amen. So again, that's our primary service, is to surrender to Him. Lilies aren't out there in the field going, trying to be a lily. They're not out there going, trying hard not to be a rose. Or daffodil. You know what they're doing? They're just being lilies. They're waiting on the Lord for the rain. They know the Lord's going to have to take care of that soil that they're in. They know the Lord's going to be the one. If there's going to be a drought, if there's going to be a flood, then they're just going to have to trust in the Lord. They're just doing what they do. And that's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to surrender. The birds of the air, mentioned in verse 26, the blades of the field, in verse number 30. No bird has ever tried to build a bigger nest than his neighbor's. No fox has ever talked about his failures. Squirrels don't get ulcers because other animals think they're nuts. Amen. Work. You know what squirrels do? They do squirrely things. Amen. They don't say, oh, why can't I be a moose? Moose. I'm sorry. Yeah, moose, right? I almost said meese. Amen. The mooses. Amen. They're not out there looking up the tree going, I sure wish I was a squirrel. I mean, that's just not how it works. And yet we make the mistake when we try to be what we're not. And God says, no, I just want you to trust in me. I'll take care of you. That brings me to the third point. Not only do we consider their beauty and their industry, but we consider their anxiety. Now, we see the word fret. We see the word care in the King James Bible. The word anxiety and worry, those words are of a modern usage more so. It's just like certain words like hate and gay that in the Bible don't quite mean the same thing that we sometimes make them to mean today. And so we don't see that word worry there, but that's what he's talking about. And he uses the word fret. A modern word is anxiety, to be stressed out about something, in other words. We do that. We get so stressed out about things we can't control. And worry is like a rocking chair. It doesn't get you anywhere, amen? Put all that effort into it. But five times in Matthew chapter 6, five times, that's the number of grace. Jesus says five times, take no thought. Take no thought. Now, he doesn't mean run with scissors. He doesn't mean play in traffic, amen? He's not talking about being careless. He also uses the word careful in a negative way. He's not talking about that in a negative way, the way we might think of it. We say, well, being careful is a good thing. He's talking about being overly full of care. In other words, worrying, fretting. And worry is pulling the clouds of tomorrow over the sunshine of today. I inherited it from my mother, a trait of worry. Amen. People talk about besetting sins. I worry so much it worries me. Amen. It does. I could have a PhD in worry if I'm not careful. I'll sit back and I'll stress out about a whole lot of things that never even happened, and yet I've stressed out about it. And now I've suffered the consequences of things that never happened. By God's grace, I've gotten a lot better over the years. My wife will even testify of that. She'll also testify that I ain't perfect yet. But it's something that I've had to learn over the years, to just put it in the hands of the Lord. Why do I chew Maalox and stay up all night? You know, I can't control those things. And most of the time, the Lord has already got it worked out. And by the time it's done, I say, well, I wasted all that time, energy, and effort, and lost my appetite. Y'all can tell I don't lose that very often, amen. But weightlifters. I cannot imagine a weightlifter, big, bulky, muscular guy, like Brother Randy, somebody like that, you know. I can't imagine weightlifters. Brother Randy's looking around to see who I'm talking about, amen. I can't imagine weightlifters' children being real worried about getting the top off of that medicine bottle or opening the can of that jar of pickles. You know why? Daddy's there. Daddy bench presses 500 pounds. They may go, hurt a little bit, but I doubt they spend all night beating it up against the counter. They say, Daddy, Dad, here you go. And they know Dad is going to take it right off. I don't think that President Trump's children are really worried about paying the bills this week. I don't think they're laying in bed tonight going, I sure hope we can pay that power bill. No, they're not worried about that at all. And we shouldn't worry about things. We have a Heavenly Father who controls everything. Amen. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle on those hills and the taters in them hills. Amen. Everything belongs to Him. The God of the galaxies is the God of our Mondays. And we worry about, this week. And God says, just turn it over to me. Go to bed. Rest. It's just don't worry about it. And worry, I had, this, y'all sometimes preaching. My pastor was preaching one time, Brother Danny Green. He was preaching up a storm, and I was amening it. I was hallelujah, glory to God. Then he made a statement about worry, and I amened it. And I said, he's right. It's terrible. Amen, y'all. That's rough stuff. And then he said, worry is a mild form of atheism. Boy, that struck me. I mean, I was using worry, that's just how I am, like my bad temper. I'm Irish. You know how we are. I was just saying, my mama worried, I worried, I inherited it, I got honest, whatever. But he was right. He said it was a mild form of atheism. I said, I'm saved. I believe in the Lord. And then he started explaining. I started to realize he's right. It's believing that there's a God, but not acting like there's a God. It's a mild form of atheism. It's like saying, God, I know you're there. I know you're real, and you promised me all these promises, but I just want to believe what I want to believe. I want to believe in myself to do it. I want to believe that I can fix it. I can figure it out somehow. Oh, it's a mild form. Not a full-blown case, amen, but a mild form of atheism. It's faith in our fear instead of our Father. And the Bible says we're not given the spirit of fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Whenever we're fearful, we're not being faithful. When we're faithful in the Lord, we trust in the Lord. We say, well, Lord, my faith is in you, not in me, not in anybody else. And then we'll not fear. We'll say, what shall I fear, amen? Why shall I be afraid? That's what we are told over and over again in the Bible. And so God doesn't want warriors. He wants warriors. He wants us to be prayer warriors, to trust in Him. And that's what the lily does. And so the lesson here is to look to the lilies, look to the field, and look to those things, and trust in Him for every valley. He is the lily of the valleys, and to realize that if God will take care of them, God will take care of us. Are we not of much more value than even they? Not saying that they are not valuable, but saying that we are even more valuable than they. I remember when I was in Bible college, we had an evangelist come, and he was talking about his trip, his recent trip to Israel, and he said that when he was over in Israel, they took him outside of all the tourist spots this time. He said, you know, I'd already seen the Pool of Bethesda, and I'd already been to this place, and I'd already been to that place. But they took us out a little bit, and we went out to go see where David killed Goliath, and we went out into some of those more distant locations. He said, one of the places they took us was where the Rose of Sharon grows, in that Sharon Valley over there. He said, I was surprised to find out that the Rose of Sharon is an orange rose, by the way. It's not a red one, amen. It turns red, but it starts off orange and then turns red over time. And he said, I was fascinated by that. He said, and then we got back in the bus. He said, and when we were in the bus leaving that valley, we were going by some other valleys. He said, we looked out and he said, it's a beautiful valley over here. A beautiful. He said, I just saw, because that's where things grow, is in the valley. They don't grow in the mountain. They grow in the valley. He said, but I looked over, he said, because the tour guide brought it to their attention. He said, look to your left. And then they stopped the bus, he said. And they stopped the bus, and it was a field full of lilies. White, beautiful lilies. Just a whole field full of them, amen. And he said that the tour guide, it's hard for me, I guess my mic's not working, so I keep trying to walk away here. Oh, it's on, just barely. The tour guide, he said, if you'll look out over there, he said, you'll see that great big field full of valleys. He said, and something interesting you might not know is that we've got a lot of rabbits around here. He said, we also got a lot of things like to eat rabbits around here. He said, and those rabbits, they'll wander a bit, but they don't wander too far from these fields. When the fields are in bloom, when the lilies are in bloom, the rabbits stay real close by. He said, and the reason that they do is because when a predator starts to chase them, he says, and most of the predators are faster than them. Most of the predators are going to eventually catch them. If they run, they're not going to be able to outrun whatever it is that's trying to get them. So what they'll do is they'll run to the fields of lilies. He said, when they run to the fields of lilies, two things happen. First of all, their white fur blends in with those white lilies to where now the predator can't see them as good. Oh, but predators, they got good noses. They can sniff them out. However, what they do when they run through those fields of lilies, they zig and they zag and they rustle up those lilies to where those lilies put out their perfume, put out their fragrance. And now, that which was surely going to destroy them, that which was surely going to have them for lunch, can't see them, can't smell them, and don't even know where they are. He said, because they're hidden in the lilies. And that preacher said, I didn't care who heard me and who was looking at me. He said, I went, woo! He said, because he immediately got to thinking about Jesus, the lily of the valleys. And now that we can run to him when it looks like there's no hope, when it looks like there's no help, we can run and be hidden in Christ and covered and made white. Our sins are not seen. We are covered by that lily. And the fragrance of it is sweet. Consider the lilies. And when you do, consider the one who takes care of you. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and stand together. Sister Peggy will come to the piano and give a verse or two of invitation. The Lord Jesus goes on after saying the things that he said that we read. And says, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It goes on to say that the Gentiles seek after these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, but the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So maybe you came here tonight with worries, anxiety. Maybe you've been working real hard to make something happen, and the Lord's telling you to turn it over to him. We can't figure it out. We can't overcome it on our own. What do? We run to the field. We consider the lilies. We let him hide us beneath the shelter of his wings, beneath the petals of the lily. Maybe you're here tonight or watching online and you have not found forgiveness. You've not been born again. He's not your heavenly Father. Jesus said, those that are not saved are of their father, the devil. You've got a father, a spiritual father. The question is, who is your father? God wants to be your father. He wants to take you under his wings. He wants to protect you. He wants to open that jar for you. He wants to pay that bill for you because he can. That's what he does. Just a few verses from this, Jesus said, if you, earthly fathers, being evil, can do good things, and you love your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father take care of you? So he can be your father tonight. If you'll trust in Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, if you'll trust in him as your Lord and Savior, you can be born again and become his child and find forgiveness and comfort and strength and help and hope in this life and even more in the life to come. But you must call upon him. Bow your head and heart and humble yourself before him and say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and the only hope I have is in Jesus Christ. Well, we that are saved pray a very similar prayer. He's already our Father. We already have him, but sometimes we want to do things ourselves. We want to worry about things. We don't want to turn it over to him. We don't want to cast our care upon him. We think we got to do it on our own. No, it doesn't work that way. Our service is surrendered to just trust in him to take care of us, to do what we can do, but then leave the rest to the Lord. The song that Sister Peggy's playing is a very appropriate song. God will take care of you, but you got to let him. Our Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to do just that, to trust in you, to cast all of our care upon you. Lord, of course, we know that the greatest need is our soul, Lord, and salvation. But after that, we pray that you'll help us that are saved to consider the lilies of the field, Lord, to know that you do care for us. And Lord, as the song Sister Glenda sang so beautifully expressed it, Lord, we are to share that love with others, to introduce them to the Father that will take care of them as well. And so, Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word and pray that you would apply it to our lives and help us to apply it to the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain standing if you would. Now, I didn't let Brother Ron dismiss us in our song today, so we're going to have Brother Ron, if you'll come, and what we'll do is we'll sing the chorus. And those that are not members, you can go ahead and be dismissed. Those that are members, we invite you to, after the song is sung, to be seated, and we will then go into our business meeting.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing.